Please rise for the Gospel. The Gospel is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, when a very great crowd was gathered together and men from every town were resorting to Jesus, he said in a parable, "The sower went out to sow his seeds, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Another seed fell upon the rock, and as soon as it had sprung up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. And other seed fell upon the good ground, and sprang up and yielded fruit 100-fold. As he said these things, he cried out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when the disciples then began to ask him what this parable meant, he said to them, "To you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. Now those among the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, but believe for a while, and in the time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they who have heard, and as they go their way are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not ripen. But that upon good ground, these are they who, with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bear fruit in patience. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today, on Sexagesima Sunday, the Church is giving us a little warning, telling us that Lent will approach. Lent is approaching, and it is almost here, 10 days away. So during this season, we wear violet vestments in Sexagesima season, Septuagesima season, to remind us that we should be getting ready in these three Sundays before Lent. And the readings here reflect this also, for we have the parable of the sower. You know, every time we hear this, of course, we all want and, of course, should desire that our hearts, of course, are that fertile soil that brings forth the fruit 100-fold. However, we should reflect very carefully, and look at our life, and really, are we any of the other categories? Are we one who maybe comes to Sunday Mass but then goes home and the cares of the world choke off our spiritual life? The thorns and thistles slowly grow and slowly choke away. And is that what happens? Our cares, our commitments, are different things than slowly the faith dies, watching too much television, too much time on the internet. Families, your kids have too many activities, so that the life at home slowly withers and dies. There's no prayer. There's not much spiritual life. This is what we should reflect on. Also, other things, such as just in general, we live in a society here, especially in California, that is very anti-Christian. Are we putting that off? Are we not at least standing up for the faith? You know, recently we had this incident last week where the Health and Human Services says Catholic institutions have to carry contraception, artificial contraception. And of course the bishops together, 160 bishops have stood up and said, no, this is an attack upon our religious freedom. You are trying to take away our religious freedom. And this has become part of the national current events, the discussions. And when this happens, when this is brought up, do we have the courage to actually stand up and say, no, as a Catholic, well, this is what we believe, and that this is an attack upon our religion and our faith? Incidences like this, are we willing to do this, or do we not engage in the conversation, the current events, or just anything, any kind of statement about our faith? When you go out to dinner, do you actually bless yourself before eating, something you might do at home or you should be doing at home. It doesn't have to be a grand gesture in a restaurant or something, but just a little statement like that, which would then be a public statement. You're not doing it for other people, but we're not shrinking away from the public forum and hiding our faith. This is something important. Do we actually do this? The devil wants to snatch the seeds of faith from our heart. Are we on guard against that? Are we praying? Are you praying at home? Am I praying? Of course, as a priest, I have many prayers I have to do, but every day we need to pray. I said it before, and I'll always say it, the family rosary is very important, to say the rosary every day in the house. Remember, it is not only what we say, the rosary is important, but where we say it. Just by saying it in the house sanctifies the house, sanctifies the place. So it's important. It's 20 minutes. You know, many times I talk to families about this and they say, you know, Father, it's so difficult. We have all these different activities and we're doing all these different things. And my response is, well, maybe you need to let go of some of those activities and let go of some of those things so that you do have the time to get together as a family to pray. What is important? That's the question. Are all these activities important, or is the faith really what's important? It is the faith. And so we have to put that first. It's 20 minutes, and it should be the center around which the day revolves. You know, as a priest, we do the divine hours, 7-8 different times a day in which we pray, and they're set hours. Of course, the monks are really, you know, the monks really keep the hours as a parish priest. Sometimes it's difficult, but that sets the tone for the entire day. We pray throughout the day. And so at home, you don't have to do, you know, the complete divine office, but you have a set time in which you do prayer. When you get up, of course, before you go to bed, they can just be brief, but then the family comes together to do some prayers. It's very important. And this is really what will protect us from the attacks of the devil. And so we need to look at these things and to really ask ourselves, are we the fertile ground or not? Or do we have to do something? Do we have to put off the things of the world? Maybe let go of some commitments? Do we have to make a better effort of having a regular prayer life or not? Here during Lent, the church asks for the bare minimum. You know, the current regulations are Ash Wednesday is a day of fast and abstinence. Good Friday is a day of fast and abstinence. And all the Fridays of Lent are days of abstinence. That's the current legislation which we're all bound to under mortal sin. But, you know, that is the bare minimum. That is, you know, a D, so to speak. You know, you didn't fail, but you're not doing that great if this is all you do. You need to do more than this. And so, you know, I often recommend to people to do the traditional laws of fast and abstinence. It's not impossible. Fasting, sometimes when you say fasting, people think of what's called the black fast, that is bread and water and starving yourself. No. All a fast is one full meal, two small meals that don't equal the full meal, and that's it. No in-between meal snackings. You should be a little bit hungry, but you're not starving. You shouldn't starve. People go 40 days doing this. And yeah, it's a little penitential, but it's not impossible. And in generations past, they did it, and they didn't have the benefit of our knowledge of nutrition. They would just do it. Now we have all these advantages. And our life is so much easier these days. We get in a car, we take an elevator, take an escalator. There's not a lot of physical things we have to do. Now, of course, someone who's pregnant, nursing, or, you know, ill, or someone who truly has a lot of physical labor in their job, was a bricklayer or something like that, of course, in the past, they would be exempt from this. But for the vast majority of us, especially in today's society, it shouldn't be that difficult. It shouldn't be that difficult to just do a traditional fast and abstinence. It can be the source of great blessings. Now, in addition to this, the church recommends that we do something in it, something else. We give something up. And this can be something small, something secret. You don't broadcast it to all people. And it's important to remember that the penance that you choose is your penance. That you don't choose a penance that makes you grumpy or grouchy or angry so that you become a penance for someone else. If you decide to give up coffee and you become very irritable and you have to announce to everyone, well, I'm sorry, I gave up coffee, you know, I'm just so irritable. You're being a penance to other people. Everybody, I think we can speak for everyone, have your cup of coffee because we would rather have you not be penitential. So your penance should be something for you. If you want to give up coffee, maybe give up the Starbucks and have instant coffee instead. So the penance should be something specifically for you. It doesn't have to be known by all people. And it can be something small. I've said this before in years past. You know, give up condiments. Just have nothing on the salad rather than your favorite salad dressing or salt or ketchup or these type of things. I knew a man once who said when he gave up condiments for Lent, it was the hardest Lent he ever did. Because you don't realize how many times you have a little sauce, a little bottle of something or anything like that that's on the table. He said it was very difficult. You can deny yourself a little bit of sleep. Get up a couple minutes early to do some prayers. Or, I knew a priest who used to call the snooze button the anti-virtue button. That when the alarm goes off, you don't push the snooze button, but you get up out of bed immediately. That can be a little penance too. You like to kind of chilly out and you want to get 9 more minutes of snoozing. No, just get up. These kind of little penances can be very beneficial. You know, it's the little things that are often the greatest spiritual benefit for us. And so, again, we have 10 days to prepare. So, prepare yourself. Decide what you're going to do. Sometimes it's halfway through Lent and people just haven't really thought about it too much. And then they think, oh, well, maybe next year. No. Prepare now. The church is telling us. You know, we all want to be that fertile soil that brings forth fruit 100-fold. But we have to take honest stock of ourselves. You know, to cut down the thistle can be penitential. To hoe up the hard path is difficult, and to break the rocks in order to turn it into soil is a great penance. But we need to do that. We need to take stock of our life and then also prepare to have a good penance so that our heart would be the truly fertile soil, the soil that brings forth the fruit 100-fold. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.